Now y'all gonna have to excuse me. Y'all done put a cut on them hand claps. We drove 13 hours here from Detroit, Michigan, probably 7 carloads. Could you please give us another hand, please? We're making an attempt to put a cut on the disease of addiction and this program. And this program can't take no cut. I just want to ask one question. Is there anybody in Ocean City tonight grateful to be clean? You know, with all these beautiful women in here, this look like a big giant orgy sometimes. Like you don't even know who gonna make you feel good. You know what I mean? It's glad, yeah. It's glad that y'all grateful to be clean. Cause let me tell you something that I found out. And see, I'm gonna own up to the program work. And it's, you know, he had told me that the subject was like last year, cunning, baffling, and insidious. If it's all of that, right? Then for some of y'all, this may be a workshop, but there's some other people in here, this might be an emergency. You know, disease of addiction don't care if you come here to have a good time, as long as you don't learn nothing. Ain't no sense us holding you up. First of all, before we get to this colorful subject that you're going to find, I ain't used no dope since October 7th, 1987. Yeah, it's a deal. And I didn't learn. I am bragging on God. Because if you knew where I come from, if you knew what the Salvation Army Warming Center was like, if you knew what it felt to be homeless for a period of time, if you knew what it felt like being sprayed with insecticide, if you ever felt hungry, if you ever been lonely, if you ever been embarrassed, if you ever been locked up, then when somebody gives you any accolades, any progress, any improvement, you'll be tickled to death. Sometimes we forget to remember where we really came from. This disease is cunning and baffling, right? And if all of this is true, then you're going to need some strategies to deal with a disease that can kill you. Right? In fact, I'm going to kind of change, because I got this clean time now, I'm going to change kind of the name of this workshop, because really, considering all the people that's in here that I love, you know, I'm really high right now. I'm so high, if you gave me some dope, you'll fuck my high up. We're going to change the name of this workshop because of diseases, all that stuff, to the Unfuck You program. This the Unfuck You program now, because along this road, whether you new in this program or not, and I want to say welcome to the new people. And we want to say welcome back to the people who have, I don't care if they look like they have been in and out and in and out. It's a part in recovery and relapse where it says an addict, even for a time, can find some relief. No addict need die from the horrors of active addiction. And let me tell you something, if ain't nothing else said clever at this convention, let me tell the new person or anybody in here, you don't ever have to use again. There's our message. That any addict can stay clean, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. But somewhere along this program, the disease of addiction has some components to it to leave you with some mental illness. You know, a lot of us have talked to ourselves walking down the street 1,000 times. You know, we seem like we had a program before we even came to the Narcotics Anonymous. And many times I was walking down the streets of Detroit saying to myself, you know what, this don't make no sense. Right? You need to take your ass home. Right? You'd be so baffled. The disease takes you so far away from the way you was raised or what your moral values were. That's why the step four talks about a moral compass. Because you been crossed your own moral line. You been standing on Mac, right? Could have been a debutante last year, and now you's a hoe. You standing up, right? The disease will completely change you into somebody you don't even recognize. Right? Because we like to talk about the highlights of active addiction. We like to tell the highlights of when we was giving money, you know, when you was a call girl instead of a hoe. You know what I mean? A lot of us was supposed to be gangster. You know, if you cock your head a little bit in here, people will think you some kind of pseudo-gangster. But I ask most gangsters, what happened to your gun, right? I heard cats say, well, I sold my gun. Not a real gangster don't sell a gun. Before I get really started out, I would be remiss to not say thank you to the guys who rode with me. It was really about, like I said, almost 7 carloads of addicts with clean time, with a lot of clean time, with 30 years and 25 and 28 years that rode 13 hours, sometimes going around in circles, right? To come here to be a part of this celebration. See, I don't believe that this sharing is worthless. I believe we have been effective. At some point, we got to own up to the program really did work. We have carried this message. It's people to be on TV. They're talking about they ain't gonna do their TV show this week because they're going in treatment. I wonder where they got that shit from. We done been effective. We started out years ago where it wasn't this glamorous in all these hotels, where we were sleeping on people's floors in their living room, a palace that was made up, right? And one person at a time, one experience at a time. See, because let me tell you something that might scare you to death. Somebody is watching you. Somebody has seen the problem. Somebody who could never believe that a dope fiend like me could ever stay clean is fucked up now. But along this road, with the disabilities that the disease causes, you're going to find out in some situations that the juice really ain't worth the squeeze. You're going to find yourself baffled and confused. And sometimes in relationships, you'll complain about being in one and find yourself right back in the same situation. Right? Wondering what's wrong with you if you've lost your mind. And you have, I'm not just talking about people that's new. My conversations today, you understand? I got clean time now. I'm not confused. I don't care what glasses you put on. I don't care you got your new teeth. You done graduated from college and all that shit is fine. But at some point, we're going to have to learn strategies, and I know I have, to unfuck yourself. Because if you're an addict, with the type of decisions we make, because addicts with a bright idea is terrorists, right? We get them bright ideas. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to need some strategy. A lot of times we think the steps is just some good literature to sound good at the meeting, but really, it's going to come a time where some of the stuff that we say in meetings is going to mean so much you don't know, you will never imagine. Disease of addiction don't care. Let me tell you something that may be shocking to you. Disease of addiction don't care if you use some dope or not. In fact, we got a situation going on right now. See, a lot of times we got to bring right now into the circumstance. We're experiencing some stuff. I've been of late because I came here and I've been going across the country trying to get some new recruits. Because we thought the disease was gone. We done got so comfortable. We got clean time. Some of us got yachts and penthouses and plenty money and well respected in the community. I ran for city council. All kind of big shit that we doing and we done earned stuff and did stuff. And we got time. A lot of us don't even have time for the meetings no more, or time for the newcomers no more. And we done got lazy and soft. We need some new recruits. Y'all new people. See, the D's of addiction ain't gonna get Karen high no more. Karen, we ain't gonna get you shot in the ass with no buckshot no more. We don't care if Donald H. don't get high. You know, we don't care if you don't use no crack. We got some other shit for you. The disease is so cunning. It's just like I seen that movie, The Predator. Right? Where before they spotted the predator. You see, it's going to come a time in this program, with clean time or not, you're going to have to be able to spot or recognize what's killing you. The inventory we do ain't for your sponsor. It's so that you can see. You know, if I'm the person who has done the most harm to me in my life, I need to be able to see that motherfucker coming. I need to be able to see myself coming.
Come on, Charlie.
I'm not going to let you mess me up. I'll tell you what, I'll fuck me up. You're going to have to know something about yourself before you sneak back up on yourself and fuck your own self up with clean time, with your fucked up choices. Disease is so cunning and so vicious. It'll make you turn your clean time on yourself. We done retired the NA police at the meetings. We done put down our weapons, our literature. We done got soft and started allowing permissible stuff to go on in our meetings. We done stopped doing the H&I. You know, at home, we done stop the open talks where people can get to know each other, right? We done put down our weapons at the garden at the gate. We done took the warheads off of our missiles and the disease, which is cunning. We thought the disease was gone because we stopped smoking crack. Disease of addiction don't care if you don't smoke no crack no more. Fuck you and crack. Fuck your sponsor. Fuck all the people at your home group and they friends. I was sitting up 15 years ago at the casino. Right? I'm clean. I'm baffled because I'm caught up and I know it. And the Z, I ain't using no dope, but I'm caught up. I'm successful. I got 3 businesses on, 2 restaurants. I'm on top of the world, sharing my ass off like Shakespeare. Right? And at the end of the road, clean. I asked before I turned in my VIP at the casino in Detroit, how much do it take to become a VIP? They say, man, Mr. Coleman, you've been a VIP for 4 years. And it takes $100,000 worth of play to be a VIP. I say, God damn. I come to the meeting and share. I have come to the meeting and shared and got so honest, right? And right after the meeting, the disease said, okay, that was a fine job you did. Let's go. They don't care nothing about your clean time and you don't have to use no dope. When I got past my diabetes situation, you know, I got the exercise and doing like that. You say, you know what? You can have a donut right now. You know what I mean? It'll take. You don't need no dope to kill you with. It'll take a donut or a chocolate chip cookie, a pack of Newport 100s, and you'll be dead as a butter bucket. If you don't watch yourself, if you don't have some stuff to tell yourself, that part is just for the day where it says, tell yourself. Just for the day, right? It depends on what you telling. You got to watch what you telling yourself. You got to watch what you listening to. I need some soldiers in this motherfucker now. Because now the disease is back. Oh, we thought when the crack epidemic and all that shit was over with, that the disease had went off and left. when Jamil got through talking about the general and how he had us marching and shit, right? We thought the general was gone. The general had snuck off and got some new recruits and came back, and now he killing more of us than ever before. He don't care nothing about Wallace. He wants Wallace's grandchildren now. He wants to kill your whole lineage. While we sitting in all our yachts and enjoying and celebrating our clean time, it's more people dying than ever before. Pick up your goddamn gun. Get back on your job, Charlie. Volunteer for some H&I with all that clean time. And now that we know a little something, you understand? It's time for us to get more busy than ever before. These strategies, these things that you will tell yourself will get you out of some stuff. It's many times that, some of the most powerful recovery processes, sometimes I have to tell myself some of the most powerful words in recovery is shut the fuck up, Charlie. Don't feed into that shit. Let them people live and let them people go ahead. Don't feed into that bullshit, right? Walk away. You know, in the relationship, next relationship I get in, I'm going to be real good because I done learned a two-letter word that I'm going to try to use in the relationships. It's called okay. You know, if I had used okay, I probably would be married and happily ever after right now. But I just couldn't get to the words with clean time to be able to say okay. Right? So, I found out that this program, the reason it makes so much sense for me, the reason the strategies that are necessary to fight the disease and fight the insidious, you got to be able to spot your predator. I remember in the Predator, Arnold Schwarzenegger and then was traveling through the jungle. And you know, just like an active addiction, we be out thinking, really, sometimes we act like this is more of a morbid situation than it really is. I was out just having a good time and got caught up. How many people really, that's what happened, more so than some diabolical thing about my childhood? At some point, I got to realize in my childhood, when I grow up and when I become a recovering addict, I got to look back with clear eyes. I got to look back with some maturity and realize that Miss Matthews or Uncle Charlie in your life, or your mama, you know, some of them people in our childhood were sick motherfuckers, right? You got to go back and start using what happened to you when you was a child, even though you're 30 years old now, as a convenient excuse as to why you can't win, as why you can't move forward. You got to look at things real clearly. Some of us had a sick ass mama. Some people had a sick ass Uncle Charlie, right? And they did what they did when they did. Now that I'm an adult, now that I got some recovery, I can go back and change the name on my mama. And say she was a 16-year-old girl that had a little baby boy like me that was doing the best that she could with what she had to work in. You only know that stuff so you can get some peace. See, what I want out of here, half of me now, is something that I'm searching for and I want every day. It's like sometimes we come in here with our head cocked to the side and people say, that boy, y'all got a show, it's cool. What I found out cool for me is a return to serenity. Because somebody who cool or got some serenity, it don't matter what happens. It's some thought stuff that done happened along my recovery. And, you know, a lot of times we'll use that, well, I'm getting close to my anniversary, so I get nervous and all of that stuff. We build up some shit in here. Some myths in here. It's some stuff that sometimes be shared that you know don't make no sense. And I don't care how loud you talk, that shit ain't gonna never make no damn sense. You better watch what you're listening to and use these strategies. You know, powerless over my addiction, right? My life had become unmanageable. If it's true that my life had become unmanageable, then maybe it's time to put my life under new management. Some of y'all used to listen real good, not that we done got some teeth and a few dollars in our pockets, some glasses that look nice, right? we don't listen well no more. To survive this program 30 years, you got to see some stuff. You know, sometimes when you think you got all the answers, the questions change. We come up here because the questions keep changing. We got all this clean time, and most of us are doing well. Why is we driving 13 miles to Ocean City? We just had a convention last week. We drive up here and wasn't asked to speak. Right? I wasn't asked to speak here, and I was all right with it. But I speak it. I share our recovery. I share our feelings. I share what we done found. I share our success. At some point, we're going to have to own up to having some recovery. We're going to have to own up that we have been affected. Every TV show that come on and every movie got somebody coming out of treatment or going in treatment. CC's the back here. The playoffs was about to come. And they were saying, you're going to make this much money during the playoffs if you pitch. CC's manager said, fuck the playoffs. I'm going in treatment. I wonder where he got that shit from. Sometimes we over-dramatize the fact that we ain't perfect. But we better. We ain't gonna never be perfect, and I don't know nobody who is. Right? We got to own up to some progress and some improvement in our lives. Right? If we don't start doing that, if we don't get a connection with these new people and start giving them the juice that we done have, if we don't pick up our literature again, my grandson gonna be fucked up. Your child gonna be fucked up. Because they won't be able to come here and got what sustained you. If they got the same disease that you got, if that newcomer got the same disease, and then people who keep look like they relapsing, every time they put any time together, they trying. We got to give them people credit for every time. I don't care how stupid it look, them people be trying to stay clean too. We encourage you not to ever give up. Right? And I found out here recently with the steps and with my life. Reason the program makes so much sense. And we got to own up to the program working. I asked God in 1987, sitting homeless in the Salvation Army Warming Center. I asked God to help me. And the thing that we forget is that he did. Ain't that fucked up? We in the final prayer, in the foxhole prayer, in the Lord have mercy or somebody help me prayer, we ask whatever we believed in to help us, and guess what he did? And the whole program is based on the evidence that he took a dope fiend like me, the one of the most unlikely guys. I didn't come here with the t-shirt on. We came in here like this, right? Guys off the street. Guys that you didn't expect that. We was cussing a little bit when we shared. We like girls and stuff, right? And yet, it's a bunch of us here and we got all over 30 years clean, right? This program will work for anybody, right? Some of the masks and the pretenses that we put on here just look like recovery. Recovery is showing the way you live. In the kindness are the people who buy me breakfast and dinner and put gas in the car and say, come on, Charlie, you going with us. My friends. Right? I appreciate y'all. You know, I get a lot of response because of the service we do. And then I went off the other day at our little domino club on the guy, and one guy could say, well, how could you complain? Your workshop was packed. And I said, y'all wasn't there. There's some guys that I fuck with. There's some guys I like for what other people will never understand. They my guys. They the ones who inspire me. I watched Blaine come out the penitentiary, broke, and rebuild and reinvent himself, and it fucked me up. It inspired me. See, I make my haters my motivators, and one day they end up the spectators of your success. When you tell me you went back to school and you about to graduate. See, we got success stories and love stories. Watching us come through this process is like watching a big love story. And I believe today, in closing, I changed my third step. And maybe, yeah, I changed my third step because more has been revealed. More will be revealed here about what you're doing here. But to stay here. See, it's one thing to come here. It's one thing to visit here. But to stay here. I'm talking about giving you some staying power. This program getting so good. I don't even want no more blessings from God. All I want is more of what I already had. It's been good. It's been better than I can explain to you. And I want other people to experience that same thing. And so I changed my third step. I made a decision if my life had become unmanageable, to put my life under new management. And it ain't the kind of God that you see flying through the air or look like you're going to have to be attached to some religious organization. Look, I was hopeless, helpless, homeless, right, and penniless. And I came to this program, and they said we made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, right, as you understand him. For very soon, 30 years, I've been coming to Narcotics Anonymous meetings and conventions, and God has been caring for my life right here. This is the care of God for my life. I'm in God's care every time I'm in these rooms because I prospered in these rooms, right? I've made many promises to myself in these rooms. I've had many successes in these rooms and watched many miracles happen in these rooms. And so I believe that the same God that I made that prayer with in 1987 in the Salvation Army is still with me and will continue to guide me in my recovery, and maybe he'll do the same for you. My name is Charlie C. I'm recovering.